The future may not be clear, but our commitment is. So when you sit with an advisor at Merrill Lynch, we'll put your interests first. Visit ml.com and learn more about Merrill Lynch, an affiliate of Bank of America. Merrill Lynch makes available products and services offered by Merrill Lynch, Pierce Fenner & Smith Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member, SIPC.
The smartphone evolution. Case in point, the new Samsung Galaxy S8. How we finally evolved to a giant smartphone that's also small. But what about Bixby?
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And previously, we got a little bit of a sampling, a little bit of a tease of the Samsung Galaxy S8. Changes have plateaued in recent years. Are we finally at a turning point? Here with the official review is the Wall Street Journal's Jeff Fowler, patching in from San Francisco. Jeff, we got a lot to get to. Welcome.
Hi.
So we talked about this last time, but bears repeating. This finally feels like a brand new phone, and I think it has everything to do with that screen. Walk us through it.
They figured out what we really want, which is a giant phone that feels like a tiny phone. I don't know if you use a phablet like the iPhone 7 Plus or the old Samsung Notes, but if you've ever held one of those.
I've held one.
Yeah. They're giant and they're heavy and they feel really wide in your hands.
Right.
And you know, obviously tons of advantage to having a lot of screen. You can get a lot done. You can. It's great for if your eyes are going like mine are slowly. The problem is an ergonomic one. Like, it doesn't really fit very well into one hand because our thumbs are not evolving as quickly as phone screens
as
are. So that created a problem. So the way that Samsung has solved that is instead of making this phone wider than last year's S7 or wider than the iPhone 7, they made it the same width. Actually, it's a hair thinner, but they made it longer. And ergonomically speaking, that allows you to get the advantage of that solid grip while still having more screen. And to keep it from being like ridiculously long, like a ruler or a candy bar, what they've done is they snipped away almost all of that top and bottom of the screen. So on a regular iPhone, I call that the forehead and the chin.
Okay.
The metal parts, right, where there's no
yeah.
screen. They've almost gotten rid of that entirely. And then they made the screen on the left and the right side go all the way to the edge. It's kind of like an infinity pool, and it just kind of flows right over. The net of this is that you actually get more screen real estate in this new design than you do in the iPhone 7 Plus, but it's much, much, much easier to hold in your hand.
It looks really cool. And what's changed up here as well, though, is we have a new home button situation and a fingerprint reader to contend with that's different. Walk us through the feel of that, because, you know, the feel of a phone is almost as important as the look, maybe more so to some people.
Totally, yeah. Most other phones that have that fingerprint reader at the bottom, it's carved away just a little bit so you can sort of feel it with your hand even if you had your eyes closed. That is not the case anymore. This thing is a smooth screen at the bottom, but there is a sort of pressure-sensitive button built into the screen that you can press and has those functions. The things that it's missing is the fingerprint reader. Now, maybe somebody will figure out the technology to also build fingerprint reading technology into a screen, but Samsung at least doesn't have it yet. And so that means they had to move the fingerprint reader to the back of the phone. Now, here's where I think they made a bad choice. You know, they're not the first phone maker to put the fingerprint reader on the back, but they chose to put it up next to the camera lens. And that means until your fingers get really familiar with the shape of the back of the phone, you're going to keep putting your finger over the camera lens and smudging it, making all your photos come out less beautiful. So that was not great. I wish they'd put it a little bit lower. Now, they do have one other thing they've done that helps. You can also now unlock the phone with your face. So you just sort of hold it up to your face, and if it recognizes it, boom, it just kind of opens itself.
That's cool.
Which sounds nice, though I found that it didn't really always work. It really kind of depended on the lighting condition.
So, Jeff, we need to talk about Bixby. Or we need to talk to him, but we can't. What's going on with the whole Bixby situation? It was much hyped and yet not included. That's kind of sticking out like a sore thumb here.
Yeah, this phone is incomplete. And in my review, I talk about how, you know, it's really hard to recommend a product, even if it does, I think, sort of show what phones are going to look like in the future and really set the pace in terms of design. As it arrives in people's hands on Friday, this phone won't have Bixby, which is Samsung's talking assistant. They've billed it as an improvement on and sort of the next generation of Siri on the iPhone or Google's own assistant. And I got to say, like, if you're going to buy a new phone right now that you're going to hold on to for 2, maybe 3 years, you're going to want to know how good it is at being talked to, because we're clearly getting the message that the future of our technology involves not just touching it, but speaking with it and interacting with it that way. And so Samsung really has to prove that they can do this right.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Jeff Fowler about the new Samsung Galaxy S8. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Looking for an easy way to advance your career or improve your business? Download an audiobook. At Penguin Random House Audio, we publish best-selling business books, often read by the author. Receive expert advice as you go about your daily routine. Listen to an audiobook as you commute, travel for business, or work out. Visit tryaudiobooks.com/WSJ for a free full download and listening suggestions.
Thanks for joining us. So, Jeff, to round this out, let's create a scenario where you could personally offer Samsung some pointers for next time. Where would you start? What would you say is important looking ahead to the future?
The elephant in the room, which is the fact that their last phone blew up.
There's that.
And not in a good way. It caught fire. They went on this apology tour earlier in the year where they sort of explained their what they found as to why the last one caught fire. It wasn't a super satisfactory explanation. Basically, they blamed their battery supplier. Mm-hmm. Actually, they blamed two battery suppliers. They said they both had problems, which to me sounds a little bit like saying their house got hit by a meteor twice. It just seems very, very unlikely, but okay, that's what they said. But then they also said, okay, so now in the future for this S8, we're going to be testing all these phones in new ways. We have this 8-point battery test, which sounds nice, but they've not been able to sort of provide any third-party validation, any outside experts to say, yeah, actually, what Samsung's doing now is better than before, is at least at par with the industry, or is well above par with the industry. We just don't know. They hired this, they called their battery advisory group, a bunch of academics to help them. And yet, I've been asking since January to talk to one of these, and Samsung has not been able to put any of them on the phone to
me.
And that just makes me, as a skeptical journalist and skeptical reviewer, a little more cautious about what are they really doing here. Now, I've not had any overheating problems with this phone, but I never did with the Note 7 either. Mm-hmm. So it's really, anecdotally, you can't really learn much. So I still think Samsung has a ways to go to really build back that confidence that we can trust these.
We'll leave it right there. Jeff, thanks as always.
You bet.
That will do it for this edition of The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. For now, I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York City. Thanks for listening.
The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.